Victor Green was the businessman who started the Negro Motorist's Green Book, which was an African-American travel guide that started in 1936, and it was published until 1966, and it took African-Americans throughout the country safely. This is a time period when everything was segregated, North and South, and Green came up with this idea that what a fantastic thing it would be if there was a travel guide that could help African-Americans to travel through the country.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people wanted to see the national parks. They would go to Yellowstone. They would travel to California. They traveled all over the country. But as you went west, there were fewer and fewer places for African-Americans to stay until you got to the West Coast. So you had to be very careful about where you were staying in some of those mountain states.
Right. And just to bring it up, now I know, because at one point the film kind of cut, and then I thought, I said, that's it? They didn't talk about today? What was happening? And then it came back to that.
Right.
You know, so you brought it up to contemporary, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons it has such resonance. And I think you can't just leave it in the historic period, because even though the Green Book ends and the civil rights legislation is passed, there are still significant problems in the country that we really have to recognize and talk about.
And I also think the opposite is true, too, that if when we're to talk about it in the contemporary terms using phrases like driving while black, mm-hmm. which is the title of Gretchen's mm-hmm. book and the title of our movie, and, you know, not make it clear that there's a long history, which in North America is 400 years old, of the constraining of black mobility, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Physically, economically, socially, in radical ways. And I think that part of the power of the film, I hope, is going to come from seeing that something like Driving While Black, which has this kind of provocative power in 2019, is a very, very old story. It predates the automobile, and it has to do with mobility in a racially divided society.
Because it seemed like a lot of things that we take for granted, you know, these about the automobile and maybe a lot of those corporations, they was used a lot during that time in the Jim Crow era. And they also involved, you know, the racism that, you know, all over the South.
You know, it's interesting. I think, Gretchen, your work has really unearthed an enormous amount about how, you know, the commercial explosion involved in America in the 20th century, which included the automobile, really had this very complex impact on the lives of African Americans, as, of course, on the lives of white Americans, and that the change agent that the automobile in particular was during that period, so that you had...
Yeah.
Companies which at the turn of the 19th, 20th century might have been effortlessly racist, by the Second World War are beginning to go, and some of them more than beginning to go, you know what? There's an advantage to reaching out to African American automobilers, et cetera. So you have this very complicated world which is shaken up by the world of a kind of an automobile-driven sort of national economy, including the interstate highway.
And the automobile culture also enables African Americans to get jobs in the automobile industry.
Right.
And as they get jobs in the automobile industry in Detroit, they move up into the middle class. Mm-hmm. So it facilitates middle class life and also facilitates their ability to buy more automobiles. Right? So the other thing that you might think about is that automobiles were the largest purchase that African Americans made,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're often, redlining prevented you from being able to buy a house. You couldn't buy a house, but you had all this extra money because you now were middle class and you had a job. So you used that extra money to buy a really nice car because that was your largest purchase. You couldn't buy a house.
A powerful car mm-hmm. and a beautiful car and a fast car.
And a fast car that would protect you and that you could outrun somebody who's trying to run you off the road.
Okay. Now, what I know you talked about some of the things that you hope to get out of the film. What are some of the lessons or some of the points that you want to get out of the film so that people could take away?
There are many, many. I would start by saying one of them is that African American life was vibrant, was wonderful was that African Americans had fun. They went on vacation. They enjoyed their lives. They had automobiles. That African Americans were resilient. That African Americans worked really hard to change American culture. And that's one of the things that the automobile helps them to do is to change American culture. And in some ways to change, to defeat Jim Crow.
That because African Americans was able to travel and see things and experience different things.
Were able to travel and see things, educate their children. But also the automobile is used in all of the boycotts, right?
Right.
So if you're trying to boycott the bus company, the people that have automobiles take those automobiles and use those automobiles to drive people to work so they don't have to take the bus.
Right.
And if you don't have to take the bus, you're squeezing the bus company. The Montgomery bus boycott lost 67% of their revenue.
That's incredible.
With the automobile, with people's automobiles.
You know, I also think, and this is, I mean, not the first or the last thing I feel about it, but maybe for tonight, that, you know, we have this word, you know, the car, the automobile, which is so much part of the vocabulary of American life and has been for a century and more. And there is this powerful force inside the word automobile, which didn't exist before, meant I can move myself.
Right.
And both as a reality, a physical reality for African Americans as for white Americans, but then I think is a really potent social force. This idea that self-movement and self-governance and that you are the pilot of your own motion, really, I don't think it finished letting the genie out of the bottle, but I think it knocked the top off the bottle in a way that has been very hard to get it back in good ways. That there is a sense that all Americans understand that self-motion, I'm the boss of my own mobility,
is fundamental. Yeah.
And just the way everybody can own an automobile, everybody should be automobile. And I think that if these kinds of universal or basic truths which we all share and have nothing to do with race can be understood and internalized by Americans of every color, suddenly you discover that the grounds of commonality are vast and that the constructs that divide us are A, morally repugnant, B, in a fundamental way, un-American. So that would be, you know, if the power, Gretchen, of your work could be make it clear.
Of our work.
Of our work. Of the work we're doing together.
It is our work, yes.
Well, it is. But yeah,
it is.
You know, without you.
But you're Rick.
Tell us about when this film going to come out and, you know, when the audience, the mass audience will be able to see this.
We're going to have this film done by the late spring, and it's going to premiere not on television but at the Detroit Auto Show in June of 2020. Which is the greatest place in the world to do it because it has so much. It is a part of the story of race, space, and mobility in America. It is kind of, in a certain way, off the beaten track, but the Detroit Historical Society had the really, I think, brilliant idea of saying, what better place to premiere a film about African Americans on the road during the era of Jim Crow than, you know, in the Motor City.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a great idea.
You know, so that it can reach out immediately to one of the sort of the major constituencies.
And it sounds like we're bringing it back to Albany next year.
Yahoo.
I got the feeling.
What a crowd. I mean, Gretchen,
you got to bring that to the capital region, not Albany, the whole capital region.
Mr. Terry, the group here was just, you know, is an amazing audience. I found it really moving to be here.
Just have one last question I want to ask you, too, not about the book you write.
Yes.
Driving While Black, African America Travel and Road to Civil Rights. When will we see that book?
That book will be out in February, on February 11th, the publication date, but it's on Amazon right now. You can pre-order it on Amazon.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you and Dr. Gretchen Sullivan-Sorman, who's the author of the film Driving While Black, and Rick Burns, who is the director.
Thank you.